Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Steve Hellwagon. So, Steve, 5 for 5 is not 5 for fighting, but 5 to play 5 is going to arrive in college sports this coming academic year. It'll become official later today. The Division I Council voted unanimously to pass it yesterday. For those that haven't heard, that just means, like, red shirts are going away. Athletes are going to have 5 years to play 5 seasons, and the clock starts either when they enroll at their university as a freshman or when they turn 19, whichever comes first. This is one of those things I think everybody is in favor of, Steve. I haven't heard anybody's like, well, I don't like this. But it's also going to be weird not having red shirts anymore, not having terms like redshirt freshman. We're not going to have sixth-year seniors anymore with very limited, you know, exceptions. I'll get into that later, but just your thoughts on the 5 for 5 rule being passed by the NCAA.
Yeah, it is. In a way, it kind of streamlines things. You don't have to worry now about redshirting and everything else. And I think what it shows is if an athlete is worth investing in for 5 years, then colleges will do that. I think it's rare, obviously, that somebody sticks around college for 5 years. I think eventually you do want to move on with your life, and for the true difference makers, they'll go on to the pros. Very few college basketball players actually get to play in the NBA, which, you know, we're seeing all this hoopla over the draft going on yesterday and today, and hopefully Bruce Thornton hears his name called today. But even then, they've put the second round of the NBA draft in prime time on ABC, and very few of those players ever play meaningful amount of games or minutes or anything in the NBA. Most of them are two-way players. So it just tells you how difficult it is to go pro in these sports, and that this allows them to continue to monetize, I suppose, their strengths and their abilities at the college level. And if it's a guy that, you know, the college head coach wants to keep around for a fifth year, then they'll offer them the chance to do that. If not, they can go in the portal and go somewhere else. So, you know, I think it's good for all parties concerned, and it takes away all the appealing and all the uneven enforcement of the transfer rules, which there were so many things that have happened over the years that, you know, a school turning down a team's attempt to get a transfer from their school and different things that have happened and contract disputes and all these other things. And now it just kind of streamlines what the eligibility part of it is, at least.
And the exceptions that I mentioned earlier, if their military service would be an exception to the age requirement, and you'd still have 5 by 5,
but that's good.
And the other exception would be religious. Like, if, let's say you're
BYU, those guys take those missions. Yeah.
If you go on a Mormon mission, like that would be an exception. Then for the female athletes, there's one more exception: pregnancy.
Pregnancy
is an exception. So very few exceptions. So we got a couple of seventh-year seniors on the roster this year, Steve. Sixth-year seniors are going to be a thing of the past, mostly. Seventh-year seniors certainly will be a thing of the past. No more 26-year-old playing college sports. But good thing we got Jacoby Jackson and Hunter Welsing when we did, because those guys going forward would not be able to play this year as seventh-year seniors. So pretty cool, yeah. And we have a question here. This is from Dusty on – I think this is Dusty May. No, this is Dusty Smith. We'll get to Dusty May in a moment on YouTube. He says, I always wondered, how did they come to the term red shirt? Didn't it just mean, like, in practice they would literally put, like, a red, like mesh jersey over their practice jersey? Yeah.
These were the guys that were going to be on the scout team or whatever and wear that, you know, whatever you want to call it, the different jersey, you know, because they're not – practicing to be active varsity athletes that year. So, yeah, it was just a term that came out of somewhere and it stuck. You know, when 72, Archie Griffin, I think, was the first class of guys as freshmen that could play.
Yeah.
I mean, they allowed it during the war time and different when they needed bodies. But so that's when the NCAA came up with the rule that you could play 4 years in 5, and take a quote redshirt year. So a year in attendance or whatever the goofy term was that they had for it. But yeah, they had it. They had a, you know, a lawyerly term for it, whatever it was. But yeah, now it's all done. You can play the true freshman as much as you want. I think that's kind of a cool thing.
And we won't call them true freshmen anymore because there's no such thing as a redshirt freshman now. So everybody's going to be a true freshman. So they'll just be freshmen. That's going to be so weird. Not having the term true freshman, not having the term redshirt freshman. What do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to go first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year? Eventually. I think these things might take time to get this out of.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be, or you just keep the terms and just go with fifth year senior. I mean, that would be another way to do it. However you want to do it. I mean, just tell me how we're doing it. In the few years I have left, I will change it to whatever we got to do. So, yeah.
Old sports writers like us who've been writing the same thing for your fifth year senior, redshirt freshman.
It's hard to change old habits.
It's going away, baby. But hey, if one thing has been constant in college football recently, it's change. So, comparatively speaking, this isn't a huge change.
I wrote a lot about this in my chat this week. If anybody's interested in kind of thoughts on where things are at and where things are headed, I mean, this is really deep thinking. One of the thoughts I had, and I don't want to get off on too big of a tangent, is I think eventually with the $40 million football roster and the $15 million basketball roster, I think what's going to happen is the top 8 or 10 teams in the Big Ten, the top 8 or 10 teams in the SEC, they may not formally create a super league. They may stay where they're at, but those will be the only teams that compete for national championships. And the other 8 teams in each of those leagues and the ACC and the Big 12 will essentially be mid-majors. You just won't, you know, they're just not going to compete with a $40 million roster. There's no way Louisville, which has lost over $10 million a year on athletics 3 years in a row, or Rutgers, which has lost $500 million in 13 years in the Big Ten, there's no way they can compete. There's just no way they can compete with a $40 million roster. There's just no way. So I think that's where we're headed for is this super set of 20 teams. You can name the 8 or 9 in the Big Ten, and we can name the 8 or 9 in the SEC, and they are going to be on an upper echelon and continue to spend those huge amounts of money year in and year out, and everybody else is just left for second place. So that's where I think things are headed.
How do you think this will impact Ohio State football-wise, if at all? I'm trying to think, like, obviously it wouldn't hurt. I'm glad Ryan Day doesn't have to worry about, I can play this guy X amount of games, like you were saying, so we got to preserve the red shirt. So I think it's a good thing, but I don't know if it's going to help Ohio State that much. I mean, now technically Jeremiah Smith could play 3 more years at Ohio State with this rule. I joke.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
well, you know,
I definitely
think pushing the $10 million, he may as well stay. You know,
come on, Jeremiah, give us 3 more years. Not getting greedy or anything. And I do think a guy like Jermaine Matthews Jr. Is going to go pro regardless after this year. But let's say he wants to come back for a fifth year, he would now be able to do that. Where, you know, any in previous years, this would have been his last year. Period. Yeah. And anybody else who's in Jermaine Matthews, I'm just using him as an example. I do want to make this clear. They're not going to make this retroactive for the athlete. So let's say a guy like Bruce Thornton wanted to drop out of tonight.
Yeah, the people who are done are done.
Yeah, the people that are done are done. It'll take effect this coming school year. No retroactive. So if you played 4 years and this was your senior year.
They're going to get sued over that.
By people probably, who yeah. Going pro. I shouldn't even say probably. They'll definitely get sued over that. You're right.
They're going to get sued over that.
Yeah, but so there you go. So how do you think this will affect Ohio State football, if at all?
Well, I think it's a good thing for Ohio State because if there's ever a depth situation and they have to play a true freshman, they have better true freshmen than anybody else. So maybe it gives them a little bit more depth for the season at hand, I suppose, that you have more available bodies than the other teams that you're playing. So I think that's good. I can't really think of anything that's a negative impact on it for Ohio State. And as we said, we saw with those guys who stayed for their fourth year to win the national championship in 2024, it could be a case where the money is tempting enough that a guy on the fence who's probably a middle round draft pick, but still a difference maker at the college level, would stay in school and, you know, try and improve his draft stock with a fifth year. So I think that I think it helps Ohio State. I think it doesn't hurt Ohio State in any way that I can think of.
I agree 100%. News that came out yesterday. I loved seeing this press release when it came across my email. Jim Tressel to be honored in Ohio State's Ring of Honor inside Ohio Stadium, joining two other coaches I think people have heard about that are also honored in the stadium. Paul Brown, Woody Hayes, and now Jim Tressel. And they're going to do it for the season opener, September 5th against Ball State. Awesome. Jim Tressel, I love it. I love Tress. I absolutely love it. He came in here, called his shot with a 310-day speech. Michigan had just owned Ohio State. He flipped the rivalry on its head, went 9-1 against Michigan, won the national championship in 2002, took him to two other national championship games, six Big Ten championships, and like I said, 9-1 against Michigan. I love Tressel, and this is – you can see how much – and this is no surprise. He was like almost moved to tears, which is pretty rare to see that from him. And he's definitely honored by the honor, and I'm thrilled for him. And I know you.
Yeah, I mean, you and I covered those years, and we know deep down what this guy is all about. And he was all about Ohio State and doing everything he could. And this was something I wrote about a year or two ago. I think I did a column that Ohio Stadium needed a facelift with Tressel and Meyer both on the facade. And since they both won national championships, and that seemed to have been the standard because Woody Hayes and Paul Brown were the only coaches prior to Tressel who had done that. You don't see Coop or Earl Bruce's name up there, or John Wills or Wes Fussler or Francis Schmidt. We don't see any of those people up there in 1942, Dave, as we like to Montezuma. That's an inside joke. So at any rate, I think it's well-deserved for Tressel. I said that his plaque needed to say 2002 national champions, which it definitely does. And then it should say seven Big Ten championships. Instead, it says six. We talk about being PC. I mean, I use this line any chance I can get, Dave. You know I'm going to shove it in there. But Terrell and the guys, Tattoo Gate, you know, they were the founding fathers of NIL. They were the forerunners of NIL. And that really
was.
I mean, they deserve their own spot in the College Football Hall of Fame for getting everybody paid. But you know, then the bottom line for Tressel, it should say 9-1 versus Michigan. And instead it says College Football Hall of Fame. But, you know, I'm joking, you know, to a degree on all that. But and I understand that as an NCAA member, you have to continue to put up the facade that on the facade that, you know, those seasons were, you know, invalid or whatever. But definitely Urban Meyer should be next, and his should be 2014 national champions, however many Big Tens he won, 2, 3, 4, whatever that was, and then his perfect record against University of Michigan. So, yeah, I think his will say College Football Hall of Fame as well, I presume. Is he in yet? I don't even know if he's in yet. Maybe he's not even in yet. I don't know. But
I don't think Urban's in yet.
He's not in yet. He's going to be. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Second best coach of his generation. I mean, Nick Saban won, Urban Meyer, too. There's a debate.
And I'll be honest with you, Dave. When I've gone to schools where the active head coach was such an icon and they already had their name up on the facade, Ryan Day's name should be up there too. I think that really sends a message to anybody coming into that stadium, particularly recruits, you're going to play for a legend. And I think as a recruiting tool, I think all three of the coaches who won national championships and haven't been honored yet should be honored in that succession, Tressel, Meyer, and Ryan Day. And I know he's active, and I know that gets a little, you know, funky sometimes because, you know, you don't want to have to take somebody, you know, down, you know, like Reggie Bush after the fact, the Heisman or whatever, but you don't want to have to do that. But I think that all three of those coaches should have their name on the facade. And I think it's a powerful message if Ryan Day is up there, if his name's up there.
The chat's liking that idea, Steve. I have no doubt Ryan Day's name will be on there at one point, but will they do it while he's still active? That's an interesting thought. Maybe we'll get a chance to ask Ross Bjork about that tomorrow. There's so many questions.
Russell Bjork.
Well, yeah, for a programming note out there, we will. The local media is interviewing Ross Bjork at Ohio State tomorrow at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. tomorrow, Ross Bjork. And there's so many questions I want to ask that are like pertinent to like this year. But one of the questions on my list is like, is there anything you can do about getting that 2010 those wins restored? Because it's absolutely ridiculous. And even at the time, it was ridiculous, especially in retrospect, that 2010 team, Jim Tressel's last year, 12 wins wiped from the books for that. They were a 12-win team. And, you know, I don't know what Ross could do, but, man, why not? Why not try to, like, get those wins restored?
No doubt. I think that's something that, you know, I think a lot of schools are going to be looking for that now. But the rules have changed, and we have a much different society surrounding college football. So, yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah, it's going to be good talking to Ross tomorrow. I think he is kind of the ideal AD for the current state of college sports. He seems to roll with the punches pretty well, and I like him. He's very accessible. All right, let's get into some other stuff. I want to talk some basketball. Mostly I'm going to get your thoughts on how you feel about this Ohio State men's basketball team heading into 26-27. But we got to start by talking about Dusty May. Boy, that was a surprise. I guess it shouldn't have been because he – never signed his contract extension that they offered him like 2 months ago. They said it was pretty much a done deal, but he never signed it. He flirted with North Carolina a little bit, but then turned them down, I believe. And they hired Mike Malone. He turned down the Orlando Magic, you know, what, like a month ago or so. And then all was quiet. And then bam, Dusty May taking the job with the Mavs. Can't say I'm too upset about that, Steve.
No, I agree. And I kind of echo the same sentiments that you have on that, as I'm looking for a note that I wrote down about one of the things, but and excuse me just one second, but I don't have a cough button. I guess I do. I'd have to turn myself off and then turn myself back
on. That's
what
I do. Yeah. Hit the mute button. Yeah.
Hit the mute button, but I was talking, so it made it kind of difficult to do that. So Dusty May, you know, again, I guess this just shows that, you know, he had higher aspirations and he wanted to coach in the NBA. And obviously coaching the NBA, you know, you have a GM and a scouting staff that hand you a roster and then you go out and try and win games with it. And that's all that's involved in it. And again, the NBA is kind of almost like college basketball with, I mean, I heard Colin Cowherd talking yesterday. He said, we thought Oklahoma City would be a dynasty. We thought Boston would be a dynasty. We thought, one of the other teams that popped up recently and did really well. But nobody's able to sustain it. And it's because the salary cap and the max contracts and the free agency and the deck gets shuffled every year in the NBA. And, you know, San Antonio is now going to have to deal with giving max contracts to some guys. And New York Knicks as well are going to have to come up with some salary cap, you know, fixes as well to kind of, you know, build their dynasty. So in Dallas, he has a chance to put a winner on the court sooner rather than later and a chance, you know, maybe to contend, you know, reasonably quickly. I don't know. I don't follow the NBA that closely. I think it says a little bit more about Michigan. And a lot of the undercurrent that came out was they've spent $11 million on an investigation into what's wrong with Michigan athletics after all the different scandals and everything that happened up there. I mean, we don't need to quote them all, but I think that perhaps May was getting a little bit spooked by some of what he was hearing coming out of that and decided that, you know, I don't want to be here anymore and be associated with some of the things that are going to come out. And so that's potentially it. I know that Mike Boynton was named as the interim coach. I think he'll hang on to most of the players because they have NIL contracts in force. Now they're allowed to go into the portal because there was a coaching change. It'll be interesting to see if their agents are able to shop them to get better deals elsewhere. And if, say, a Trey McKinney, who I think is a stud, gets some type of blockbuster deal to go play at Illinois or go play at Michigan State, you know, wherever.
Or Ohio State. Yeah.
And he considered Ohio State and leaves and goes somewhere else here in June or July. I mean, that would be, you know, a tremendous slap to Michigan. Too bad for them. But, you know, and again, if the season doesn't go very well, then they're not going to keep Boynton and everybody will be able to go into the portal again. So we are witnessing the potential dismantling of the Michigan dynasty after they won the one championship. So I don't know, as long as they keep funding it, they'll keep having players. That's my new mantra, Dave. Fund it and you will win. So
I mean, I don't know who wouldn't have won a national championship when you had three top 12 picks, three lottery picks on that team.
And how about May taking Merez Johnson over Linda Borg or the 7-4 guy, Mara?
Mara.
That's pretty amazing.
I think Mara's going to be like an impact player in the NBA. He actually can shoot free throws. So you don't need to like worry about, you can't have him in the game like in the
fourth. Akamara. Yeah.
Exactly. He's like a good free throw shooter. So he's got pretty good touch and he's every bit of like 7'4". So
yeah.
Glad getting him out of there. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see like if any of these Michigan guys leave. Now, Boynton was there as the lead assistant. So maybe,
yeah.
Maybe
they'll retain relationships.
Maybe they'll retain everybody, but we'll see. He was not a good coach at Oklahoma State. He was at Oklahoma State for like 7 years, made the tournament once.
I can assure you, Elliot Cadeau's agent is earning his money in calling every head coach across the country, shopping Elliot Cadeau for a better deal than, you know, hold Michigan up for more money even. So, you know, yeah, it's open season, boys.
There you go. Get out
your checkbook.
Okay, well, I want to ask you this. So, like, you know Ohio State basketball maybe better than anybody I know. Maybe I shouldn't say maybe. Give me your thoughts on this year's team. I think they did a better job than they have in the portal. They got a big and they got three guards, but that's a low bar. They've been awful in the portal overall. I mean, last year their best player in the portal was Christoph Tilly. He was ranked somewhere around 80th in the portal, whereas Michigan's getting three lottery picks. They have a little bit better of a budget at Michigan. I think Michigan was number one in NIL spending in the Big Ten last year, where Ohio State was somewhere between 12th and 14th. I think they've improved that. I think they have a little bit more money to spend. They had to spend money to get Bynum to come back. I love that. I think Amari Bynum could be a star this year. Mobley's coming back, you know, bringing in the 2 5-star freshmen. Your thoughts on this team? Is this going to be a team that's going to be a consistent top 25 team? Where do you think about this team, Steve?
Well, the first thing is depth, Dave. They've had situations the last couple of years where things have happened and you're left having to play, you know, Quez Glover and Colin White and, you know, Gabe Cupps and some of these guys who just, you know, as we're finding, are not equipped to play Big Ten basketball. So, and, you know, no knock on these people, those people as people, but just if you want to win in the Big Ten and do better than eighth place in the Big Ten, you got to have a roster of 8 or 9 dudes. And they are moving closer to that. They got the first pair of like top 30 prospects in the same class since they reclassified LJ Smith to this year. Since I think Deshaun Thomas and Jared Sullinger way back in 2010. So that is 16 years. They haven't had two guys of that caliber in the same class. And you hope, you know, there was a Final Four that came out of that. Those two guys, as well as some little guy named Aaron Kraft, you know, put the team on their back and went to the Final Four. So, you know, I want to see if they can get, you know, win an NCAA tournament game. Let's start there. But it's been a long time. And I think that things are headed in the right direction. I think they've got depth. They got good young players. You know, the four tablets, it seems to be, is retain difference-making underclassmen like Bynum and Mobley. Get blue-chip players when you can. Freshman out of the high school, get what you need out of the portal, which I think they did with Justin Pippen, Jimmy Williams, Curtis Givens, Andrea Vilicic. I think they did. I think they got four pretty good players, probably better than any of their portal hauls yet. And then the last thing is get a couple guys on the end of that, you know, out of high school that are developmental guys that you just put in the program, put them in the blender, put them in the weight room, and by year, late in their sophomore year, you're hoping they are now rotational type players. And those guys this year are Vuk Lazarevich, a 7-footer from Europe, and also Alex Smith, 6'8", forward from Upper Arlington originally, played a prolific prep. So you've got depth. You're three deep at almost every position, and that is tremendous for this team. So if one guy goes down, it's not curtains. I mean, how many games did they win last year when Royal didn't play or Mobley didn't play or Tilly didn't play? Not very many. So this year it's not going to be that big of a problem.
If you had to guess, who's going to be the starting center? Is it going to be the young man that transferred from Baylor? He's not even that young anymore and had to sit out last year. Is it the guy they're bringing in from Kentucky? Is it Ivan Nagovin? Like, who's going to be the starting center in your opinion?
Well, you know, they had a practice last week, and Ojin Wuna, the kid from Baylor, was still not going 5-on-5. And he was injured in, like, February of 2025. So this is now a year and 4 months he's been dealing with this knee thing. And I get it. They don't want to risk a setback. But they want him to answer the bell in November. But how can he get in shape? How can he knock the rust off if he's not already playing? We're going today. We get to see another practice today, interview a couple players probably today, and we'll see what his status is there today. Is he in there going through drills? Is he there doing 5-on-5? That would be the thing that would definitely make me feel better about this team, because he is what they have missed, a center that will not be pushed around, a center that will hold his ground, a center that will get his hands up and contest shots in the lane without fouling and get you, you know, 9 points, 8 rebounds a game, you know, in 22, 23 minutes. I mean, he's a productive player when he's healthy. So that, to me, I think he's the starter, and the Kentucky player, Andrea, is the backup. Jagovin is a backup. I think Andrea is also the backup at the power forward position. There for Bynum. I think he's the primary backup at the power forward position. So, yeah, they got to get Ojin, I think it's pronounced Ojin Wuna, get his situation squared away, and then we'll know.
Great stuff, Steve. That's, hey, good timing that you're going to be over there watching
a practice. Yeah, we're going here at 11:15 today, so we'll have some action video up later today, and I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. All right, so check out Bucknuts later. Steve will have all that good stuff for you. Thanks to Steve. Thanks to all of you very much. We appreciate it. Dan will be with you tomorrow talking recruiting with the boys. Thanks again to Steve, and thanks to all of you. We appreciate it. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day, and go Bucks.